what he says, we will do. And where he sends, we will go. What a wonderful thing to say. And also, what a wonderful words to live by. What the Lord says to us, we will do that. And where he sends us to go, we will go there. Now this week we've talked a lot about being resolved and determined. We've talked a lot about what Paul had to say there in 1 Corinthians 9 and 27, which is, to me, a very powerful verse in the Bible. As he said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. But leading up to that, in that same chapter, in verse 16, Paul talks there about himself. He says, but though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me, if I preach not the gospel. He says in verse 19, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And then he talks about his life, how he's dedicated to our Lord and to his work down here. And he was a person that was resolved in what he was doing, determined. Now, you probably think back in your life, and you know people that affected your life in a positive way, and they may have been people that were resolved also, that were determined. And that's what that I plead with you to, as we sung the song tonight, do what he says. Go where he sends you. And be resolved to do it. Don't be up and down. Don't be a quitter. But keep trying. I saw recently on the computer, it showed a picture of this couple. And they, I don't know their age, but I'm thinking they was been married 70 years. And this couple, and they were there hand in hand. And they said, and they looked to be in their 90s just by that picture, but they said in this under that, they said, we were raised in a time where if things were broken, you fixed it. You didn't throw it away. And so, in a good marriage, you got to be determined. You got to be resolved. You got to try. And I remember my school teacher told us, I was like in the 10th grade, and we had this man teacher, male teacher, and he said marriage is not 50-50. Marriage is more like 75-75. He says you just don't go halfway. You go over halfway and you try and you work at it to make your marriage work. And so as we are determined in this life, as we are resolved to do things and do things that are right, let's remember somebody is watching us. Somebody is influenced many times by our life. And in fact, in Matthew 18, our Lord's speaking there, and he's speaking about little children. And he says, whosoever, Matthew 18, well, let me just start reading the first verse. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children. Now, little children don't hold grudges, do they? They want to get over the argument or whatever it was and go on about the business of playing. And so they are humble. Unless you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive, once such a little child in my name receiveth me. Look at verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. And friends, you can offend people by not being resolved, by not being determined, by not staying the course, by not doing what you know is right to do. And we're going to talk about tonight choices. And we all have choices that face us in life. Choices. I choose this. I choose that. But how many times can we look back on our life and we see where we made the wrong choice? And sometimes it's easy to correct. And sometimes it's not so easy. And so as you make choices in life, think seriously about what you're doing. And we make them all the time. Now in the early times, Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. And they had a choice there. They were put there to tend and take care of the garden. But Satan also entered in that time into their life. And he told them about choices too, something they could do. And I'd like for us to study that tonight about them and what they did. We're going to read from Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, you should not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." And friends, there's one thing about, as we study the Bible, we know this, we are all free to make our choices. We are. We're free to make a choice. And throughout our life, we are free to make choices. And we're not free from the consequence of our choices, but we're free to make choices. Adam and Eve the same way. And the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die." And friends, he uses the same tactic today with us. The first thing he does is deny God's word. Just like he did then. God didn't tell you the truth. It's not true. It's not true. You are not going to die. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It don't matter what God said. You're not going to die. For God doth know. He's going to speak for God now. See? For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open. And you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You know what he does, number two? He appeals to your pride. He appealed to her pride. Why, Eve, God knows this already. You're not going to die. Don't worry about that part of it. And your eyes are going to be open. And you shall be as gods, and you shall know good and evil. And then he appeals to the reasoning of her. As we see something like that, and we see that we've been told this is wrong. We've been told that we shouldn't do this. We shouldn't go there. And God has already told them they shouldn't take of this fruit. But now all of a sudden someone has said, it's okay. Now how many times in your life has this happened to you? It's kind of this way. It's okay. It's all right. There's nothing wrong with this. Don't worry about it. You know, it's kind of like we're missing something in life. Something in life I'm missing if I don't do this. And God now has made me, and He's made me to want this. And now He says I can't have this. So we start reasoning within ourselves about what we should not be doing, about the choice we should not make. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. See, she's reasoning now. It's pleasant to her eyes. It's good for food. A tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from his presence, the Lord God, amongst the trees of the garden. The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten? Can you imagine this? Have you ever done something, and all of a sudden you're caught, and your heart just, as we say, just kind of sinks, doesn't it? Why did I do this? I was told not to do it, and now I've done it, and your conscience is already hurting, and you're just feeling so depressed about the situation you're now in. Isn't it sad, the choices we make? Our first parents, one thing they couldn't do, and yet, they did. You remember this, reading about the days of Noah? I'm going back to this story. And what it said about the people that lived in, that the thoughts, every thought, and imagination of his heart was only evil continually. What now? That every thought and imagination of his heart in the world, the people in the world, was only evil continually. You say, well, preacher, you know, I have some bad thoughts sometimes. I get angry. But it's not evil continually. Repented God that He'd made man. But Noah found grace in His eyes. And out of the whole wide world, only eight people. Now you think Noah didn't have some resolve to build that ark? We don't know how long, probably 120 years. And you keep working, and you keep working, and you keep working, and you keep going. You are determined, you're resolved. You're not quitting, you're not giving up. Well, he did what God said for him to do. He built it out of the wood that God told him to build it out of. He went by God's specification. He made that choice to do it like God told him to do it. Why you say you're naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree? And the man said, the woman that thou gavest me. It's not my fault, God. I'd be fine without you and her. So he blamed God too. In my way of reading this. The woman, it's surely her fault. And you've got to take some of the blame too, God. Because you gave her to me. I was fine without her. I didn't have problems like I got now. But now I got big time problems. Because of her. The woman thou gavest to be with me. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? Can you imagine God speaking to you like that? What have you done? The woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And friends, if we're not careful in life, please listen. We will blame somebody else for our mistakes and our bad choices. But ultimately, who is responsible for my choices? I'm responsible, and you're responsible too for your choices in life. I'm responsible for my life. I will someday give an account of my life. He says we'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, give an account of the deeds we do in the body. Nobody will speak for me in that day. My mother can't speak for me, or won't speak for me. My daddy won't speak for me. Sue won't speak for me. My kids won't speak for me. I will give an account of my life. And friends, so much of my life I give account for will be where I have been resolved. Where I've made the right choices. You remember reading the story about Job? Job was discussed between God and Satan. And God told him, he said, if you consider my servant Job talking to Satan, he's a perfect man. Perfect man. Job and Satan said, yeah. You know why he's perfect? He said, you built a hedge around him. You built a hedge around him. Now, friends, I want to ask you a question tonight. Do you not believe that living in America, and we hear these stories, and Brother Danny was here the other night, and you, Brother Harry, we've heard stories about these other countries and how these people have to live and what these people don't have the things we have. Do you not believe that God has built a hedge around you and me? How could you? How could you ever turn away from a God that's served you and took care of you and blessed you so much? How could you turn away? Why can't we see the blessings of God? Why can't we be more determined and more dedicated and more responsible and make better choices with our life and with our words and with our actions and with our thoughts? You know, David said long ago in Psalms 99, we spend our years as a tale that is told. Everybody, you and I are writing a story with our lives. You are, I am, we're all writing a story with our lives. And this story is made up of three things: our thoughts, our words, and our actions. That's what your life is made of. The choices you make in your thoughts. It's choices you make of what you choose to think about. And friends, so much of what you think about, it's what you're watching and what you're reading and what you let your mind feed on. And then your words come from that. Your words come from that. And friends, let me say this to you tonight. It doesn't take but one time, one moment of anger, one slip of the tongue, and you can hurt yourself severely with somebody in this world. You can. You can hurt yourself. And they remember that. We shouldn't be this way, I know. But they won't remember all the good and all the good things you've done. But they remember what you said. That one time. And that anger. I read this one time in Dear Abby. And I thought this was so sad. But this woman wrote into Dear Abby, and she was writing in for a reason that she wanted in some way to get in contact with this woman that she had done this to. And she told the story about, she said, one Christmas season, I and my grown daughter went to town. I was driving. Traffic was heavy. And said, traffic is trying to merge in from a side street. This lady is. And she said, got several children in the car. She's trying to merge in. And said, I'm trying to keep her out. I'm trying to keep going forward, keep her out, you know. And said, but she kept her coming. She kept her trying to come on and merge in. He says, finally, I just had to stop and let her in, or hit her. He said, the lady turns at me, and she smiles and waves. And she said, I gave her an obscene gesture, is what she said. My grown daughter's sitting there with me. Now you know and I know. Her grown daughter will what? She won't never forget what Mama did. No, she's not going to forget. And she said, I feel so bad about this. But I don't know the lady. I can't call her up and apologize or send her flowers or anything. I can't do anything. I don't know who she is. Choices we make. And we know over the years people have made bad choices. Maybe somebody that was strong in the Lord. I think of people that I know of. You may think of people that you know of. And for years they were strong. They were God's servants. They was hard workers. But then, one day they chose things completely opposite to what they knew and you knew was best. And they made the wrong choice. They made the wrong decision. And they turned their lives in the opposite direction from the way they were going. When confronted, sometimes the people that's done that, they might do like Adam and Eve. They might blame bad jobs. They might blame some tough financial spots they were in. They might blame their wife or their husband or their kids or whatever. But the truth of the matter is, it still was their choice. As it is mine and your choice today. Satan tempting them, asking questions, which he knew the answer to that. And he knew Adam and Eve. You also. God has blessed us so much today. How can we ever doubt God? How can we ever not trust in God? How can we ever not serve God? Satan might say to you, you don't think you're good enough to go to heaven, do you? You think you can really be good enough to go there? You're not going to make it. You've tried before and you failed. But we keep keeping on. We keep trying. We keep serving. We keep doing things with our life. And we try to be resolved. And we make the right choices. Years ago, some of my favorite words of the Bible is what Joshua said as he talked to the children of Israel there. As he told them to choose you this day whom you will serve. Fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Fear the Lord and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt and serve you the Lord. Friends, what a choice before those people. Because they had been up and down, hadn't they? They had been hot and cold. They had not been sincere and faithful all the time. And Joshua knew that. He says, serve the Lord in sincerity and serve Him in truth. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Do we ever think about that and say, I'm going to make a choice today to do what is right? I read an article one time about what, I don't know if it's a man or woman, and they're talking about their mate. And they said in this article, I'm going to be good to you. I love you, and I'm going to be good to you, whether you are good to me or not. But I'm going to be good to you. I've made up my mind. I'm determined. Now you think about that for a moment. If a marriage is like that, and you've got one partner that says that, I'm going to be good to you, whether you're good to me or not, it's not going to rest on your shoulders. I'm going to be good to you. I'm going to be good to you. And friends, we should have that attitude in life. As God's creatures, as God's people, as God's servant, to make the right choice about doing what is right. In Philippians chapter 1, in verse 9, Paul said here, in this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Now friends, the more knowledge we have, the better judgments we make, okay? The better choices we make. The better choices we make, the better judgments we make. That you may approve things that are excellent. Now, in my choices of what I want to do, approve things that are excellent. What is it? What is going on? What's going on in your life right now? What choices are you facing right now in your life? We face choices every day. What choice are you? What's some big choices going on now? prove things that are excellent. That you may be sincere. And brethren, how sincere are we? Do we just talk a good religion? Do you really feel that you have this deep, abiding sincerity inside you? How sincere are we? That you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. And then he says in verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Not just some fruits. How much fruit are we producing? Let me ask you like this. Do you feel like your life has been fruitful? What do you think about it? Do you? You might say, yes, preacher. I have fought a good fight. I have fought this fight against Satan. And it's going to be a fight. That was the key to Paul's life when he said that. You know that? The time of my departure is at hand. I am fixing to die. And he said the first thing he said in that was the key to it. I have fought a good fight. And friends, it was a fight throughout his life. And it will be a fight throughout your life to make the right choice. Because Satan's going to be there just like he was in the day of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He's going to be there trying to persuade you. Trying to change you. Trying to divert you. And just little by little to lead you astray. In Matthew chapter 5. Verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of man. You are the light of the world. Brethren, he's talking to me and you. The salt of the earth. And salt is what? It's a what? It's a preserver. And as we make choices in life, we think about, I want to be a preserver. I want to be somebody that lifts people up. That encourages them. And friends, that's one thing we all can do. Is be an encourager. You can be an encourager. I dare say you can think about people in your life. And they were very encouraging to you. That's right. Not by just words, but by their lives and how they lived. Me and Brother Billy preached a funeral here. And Billy, it may have been 30 years ago. Old Brother Sheldon. I can't recall his first name. But Billy grew up here with him and Brother Sheldon going to church. And Billy mentioned in that funeral that day of how much influence Brother Sheldon had on him. Because of his steadfastness. Now, I can't tell you where Billy told him during his lifetime or not. He may have, he may not have. He may not have. But he was still influencing Billy. And maybe unbeknown to Brother Sheldon. As he was dedicated, as Brother Sheldon made the right choices, as he was resolved. And we see people come into church and we know, friends, they come because of resolve, because of determination. That's right. And Paul said here, that you may be filled with the fruits of righteousness. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men, Jesus said. The salt of the earth. Love is to grow greater and greater in our lives. In Revelations chapter 3. It's a sad story told here. And he says in chapter 3 of Revelations in verse 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Brethren, who is he talking to? Is he talking to me as a member of the Lord's church? Is he saying, Wilbur, you're not cold. You're not hot. You're just kind of lukewarm. He said, I wish you'd just be one way or the other. I would you, but just be one way or the other. Just go ahead and deny me and leave me. Or work hard for me, feverishly hard for me. He said, you're just lukewarm. Because I say as I am rich, rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Choices in life we make. And friends, most choices are easier when you make them. You know, they are. You feel like then you can do this. It might be a debt. You just made on a new car. And that car is bright and shiny. It runs good. It looks good. I can pay this. I want this. I want this. But by and by, as weeks turn into months, it's a little harder. And you don't have that resolve like you once had. You don't have that feeling about that car like you once had. And so another car is looking better. Another model is looking better. Runs better. Looks better. You kind of lose your resolve and you kind of feel like that you might have made a bad choice. Sometimes it can be that way as Christians if we're not careful. That we lose our resolve. We feel like sometimes that we kind of need to start over, so to speak. But we must push on. I heard a brother say this years ago, but we doubt it. And I thought about this so much, what this brother said. He said, if you don't study your Bible, you are not going to change. You're not going to change. He said, you go to church on Sunday night, Wednesday night. He said, but if you don't get your head in the book, you are not going to change your life. You're not going to change your life. And friends, as we think about making choices, as we think about being resolved, why don't you resolve tonight to study your Bible more? Study it more. Put aside some things that you may be doing now that's taking so much of your time. Put aside those things and read from God's holy word. And as the brother said tonight in his prayer, as we read, let us heed and let us obey what he says. In the book of Revelations, chapter 22, we're going to begin reading at verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs. What does that mean? That means that pet you've got. Friends, he's talking about people that live like dogs. We've got a little dog at home. And you know one of her problems? She is so selfish. I'm telling you. And I think about this scripture. How that little dog is. She is selfish. And you see them sometimes too. You see a dog going down the road, a bunch of old dogs following her. There's people that live that way. Oh yeah. Dogs, people that live like dogs, that live like animals. They don't care about the direction of their life. They're selfish. And sorcerers. Witchcraft. And hormones. Hormones. I heard somebody say one time they was gonna rent them an X-rated movie. Did we enjoy watching that? And they're members of the church. Friendly, if that's not whoremonging, I don't know what whoremonging is. And you're going to spend your money on that. And you're going to bring that to your home. I guess you're going to put your kids to bed, aren't you? And you know who's sitting there with you watching it? Oh yeah, Jesus. He sees what you're doing. He knows what you bought. He knows what you rented, whatever you do with it. Friends, he's talking about who's going to be lost. You best be careful about your choices. Whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angels to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star, and the spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that is athirst come. That hears say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will make the right choice, brethren, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man. Listen to this, please. That heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Friends, you can't change the book. You can't add to the book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. Yes, my friends, our choices are who we are. We tonight, you and I am, you are too, are the accumulation of our choices. We have chose in this life what we want to be. Now, we live in a wonderful country, and God has truly built a hedge around us. We have so many blessings we couldn't number. But friends, what am I doing with my life? Am I resolved to do what is right? Do I just kind of run hot and cold? Do I produce fruit for my Lord, for His church? And what did Paul say? I have fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. And friends, please think about this. If you knew you're going to die tonight, and you knew that, could you say that, what Paul has said? I fought a good fight. It wasn't easy. But I fought that fight. I never lost the faith. And I finished the course. And now I'm going. And now I'm ready. When I was a boy, I used to go to church at my Uncle Eubie's house. Now Uncle Eubie Moore, some of you knew that Brother Clifford Moore, he died in 1998. But Uncle Eubie was Clifford's daddy. And Uncle Eubie was my great uncle. He married my granddaddy's sister. And when I was a boy, we used to go to his house, and he was a preacher. And he used to preach to us standing behind a table chair. that you use at the table. That's how he would preach. He would stand behind that chair and hold that chair like this and preach.
He's a big man, big fella.
And he told us one time, and I don't think I'll ever forget this. He said a neighbor of his was dying, and he called for him to come see him. And he says to him, he says, "Hubie, I'm an old man and I'm sick. And I'm dying. I've worked hard all my life, but I'm lost. I'm lost, and I know it. I'm lost, and I know it." I ought to read you something in closing tonight. Take charge of your life and change your life and mold it. You can be the kind of person that you want to be. The kind of person you are influenced by the way you were brought up and the kind of environment you were reared in, you have no control over that. But when you reach the age that you begin to understand yourself and the things you do, you can take hold of your life and you can change your life and you can mold your life. And we can. We can change our life and we can mold our life. And that's what the Bible is about. That we can be a servant of God. That we can change our life. We can make the right choices. We can make the right decisions. And we can be resolved to serve Him. As we stand tonight and sing a song of invitation, as this meeting draws to a close, if there's anyone here tonight that's not a member of the church, we ask you tonight to come to be born again, to be baptized. And if you are a member, and you've gone away, you've done things that are wrong, that are sinful, and you know about that, we ask you to come tonight and ask for prayers, and we ask for forgiveness. Won't you come tonight as we stand and as we sing?